In 1961, King spoke with Eleanor Fisher, a reporter with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, who later worked for NPR. Fisher interviewed King for a documentary series about Atlanta she was producing for the CBC. These conversations were discovered in 2013 by WNYC Public Radio in New York. We'll play a portion of that first interview. But first, some context. It was November 1961. JFK was our recently elected president. When MLK sat down to speak with Eleanor Fisher, the Freedom Riders had completed their trip from D.C. to Charlotte just 6 months before. Only weeks before, King had met with the president, urging him to sign a new Emancipation Proclamation, this time aimed at racial segregation. A few minutes into the interview, Fisher asks him if he was aware of racial prejudice when growing up in Atlanta.
I was raised and grew up on Auburn Avenue in Atlanta, and in front of our house was a store, and this store was owned and operated by one of the white citizens of Atlanta. They had two or three children, and we were about the same age. When we were three and four, we played together, and this was not an unusual thing. But I never will forget when the day came that my playmates, my inseparable playmates, just found excuses and refused to play with us. And my brother was concerned about this. He was a year young, and I was very much concerned. And then this continued for a week or two, and I started talking with my mother about it. And for the first time, I came to see the problems, because she tried to explain the best way she could to a child just 5 years old the problems which Negroes confronted in the South as a result of the legacy of slavery and then segregation.
It must be a very difficult job for any mother. I wonder if any mother really can explain this to a child, especially a sensitive child.
Well, it's almost impossible to thoroughly explain it. The only thing that the mother can do, the Negro mother, is to try from the beginning to instill in the child a sense of somebodiness. This was what my mother tried to do. She made it very clear that in spite of these conditions, you are as good as anybody else, and you must not feel that you are not. And this was her way of saying you should not have an inferiority complex. Now, this is very difficult because, I mean, even though you say this in words, it's very difficult for the child not to develop unconsciously this sense of inferiority, because he lives every day in the midst of a system which stares him in the face saying you are less than, you are not equal to. And the tendency is to develop this sense of inferiority because of the existence of the system.
Did you develop a sense of inferiority?
Well, I don't think it was ever serious. I'm sure some things worked on my subconscious self, but I don't think I ever felt a conscious sense of inferiority. I always felt from the example and the words that my mother had given all along that I was somebody, and that all Negro people had dignity, even though the system of segregation deprived us of so much.
Did you have an opportunity for remaining in the North after you finished your doctorate?
Yes, I did. When I finished my work at Boston University, one or two churches in the North, one in New England and one in New York, expressed an interest in calling me to serve as pastor. And then one school in Pennsylvania had offered me a teaching position. So that I would say I had three offers to stay in the North after I finished Boston University.
And yet you went to Montgomery, Alabama instead. Why?
That's right. Well, I had a great concern for and commitment to the whole problem of racial injustice, of solving the problem, I should say, I became very concerned about it in my early childhood, and in my teenage days, this problem became a greater concern. And I said from the beginning that in some way I wanted to be a part of solving this problem. So that when I went off to school and faced the temptation of staying in the South, staying in the North, something continued to remind me that the South needed persons to return, and persons who would return and work directly in the field of civil rights to make conditions better, so that I came back with a conscious desire to do something about the problem which existed here.
Did you come back also with a plan of action?
Not any detailed plan of action. When I went to Montgomery, Alabama, I had no particular program worked out that would engulf the total community. I simply thought in terms of making the social gospel a reality wherever I could, and certainly in my own church.
That's Martin Luther King Jr. speaking to reporter Eleanor Fisher in November of 1961. Our thanks to the WNYC Archives and archivist Andy Lancet for making it available.